This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Today is our one-day pledge event here on WUTC. It's a chance to show your support in real time for your NPR station here in Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley. And it's a chance to support HCS EdConnect, bridging the digital divide in online learning here in Hamilton County. The first of its kind initiative between Hamilton County Schools and EPB, along with community partners such as the Enterprise Center and Tech Goes Home, brings no-cost, high-speed internet to any household with a child eligible for free or reduced-cost school lunch. Dr. Brian Johnson is superintendent of Hamilton County Schools. Dr. Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Remind us of the need that HCS EdConnect helps to fill.
Well, HCS EdConnect allows our students to do just that, remain connected. And so one of the things the pandemic has, I won't say revealed, but definitely shined a light on is all the challenges with Wi-Fi access for so many families and students within our community. And so as a result of this partnership, over 28,000 students and 17,000 households have the ability to be connected to Wi-Fi, which allows us to continue teaching and obviously the learning on the other end of it.
And what are you hearing from teachers about the impact?
I think a lot of it's what I hear and what I see. What I hear is that, you know, there are more and more students that are being connected, which allows the teaching to take place for those students that wouldn't have otherwise had access. What I see is a time in public education and education in general, where the way in which we're leveraging technology to enhance and accelerate really teaching and learning is unlike any time that I can remember. And I think it will ultimately be an inflection point for the way in which we deliver instruction and the way in which we think about providing access to curriculum and resources and supports for students.
What we call the digital divide existed before the pandemic, but the pandemic just revealed it and also magnified.
Yeah, it absolutely has magnified a multitude of things, right? It magnified things such as how important schools are. And I know we speak in general to the importance of public education in the community in general, but schools serve as the hubs for so many of our students in regards to feeding. Obviously, you have the learning component. And so, you know, when we begin to look at the pandemic and the things that it's forced us to take a deeper look at, Wi-Fi access is one of those things. And it became very apparent as we had to shift to remote learning because of COVID-19 that there was absolutely a digital divide. It's one that had been talked about in generality, but it's one that became extremely pronounced as we are in the moment. And what I'm really excited about, if I could add, is that our community, being the type of community that it is, did not take a shortcut approach to this solution. We looked at a decade-long strategy that will impact students for years to come, that will ultimately have systemic change in the way in which we operate. It's a really a transformational approach.
In implementing this so far, what are some of the lessons that you and fellow educators have learned to continue this and to improve upon it?
Well, I think the learning continues. So I think there's a twofold piece. There's the technical aspects of what we're learning in regards to the collaboration with EPB and them accessing and going into households or going to households and installing. They're much more versed in the technical components than I am, but the installing of the equipment and such to make sure that there can actually be a physical connection to the Wi-Fi point. So there are things we're learning from that, the way in which we communicate the opportunity and the way in which we pull students in to make sure that they gain full access. But then on the instructional side, there's so much that we're learning. The way in which I see teachers, which they're always the most resilient and innovative people that I've known, the way in which I see teachers conducting class in a completely different way. I was in one classroom where there were 15 or so kids online and there are 10 or 12 kids in the classroom. All students were engaged really deeply in what was going on. And so there's professional learning that's taking place, I believe, on the teaching and learning side that will absolutely change the way in which we operate going forward.
And in the end, it all comes down to partnerships.
It does. So we're fortunate as a community to have just phenomenal partners, even prior to HCS EdConnect, folks that support public education in so many ways. And so the local foundations here, the Smart City Venture Fund, Blue Cross, so many entities. Obviously, this is so unique because you have the county government and city government that are playing a key role. I'd be remiss not to mention our school board. Our school board did a phenomenal job of really making sure that the infrastructure from the standpoint of devices and learning management systems and even curriculum resources were readily available, so that as we pivot or made the pivot to having a shift to online learning, it was a matter and is just a matter of leveraging the infrastructure that EPB, who is a key partner, provides to really make sure that the learning can continue. And so we're very fortunate, again, to be in a community that is so giving and so caring and that cares for children. At the end of the day, we're talking about children. One of the things we talk about as a system is making sure that our students are future ready. And if we want to make sure that our students are future ready, we have to make sure they have current ready access to what they need in order to be ready for the future. And so this makes sure that they have access to the resources. Last thing I'll say, I could talk about this project forever in regards to this question, but the last thing I will say is that it's also connecting households. And so I deal in the K-12 arena very, very deeply. But the reality is it has potential to be very impactful on what's happening in our economy, parents' access to Wi-Fi, them going forward and getting jobs, advancing. All that helps to lift the community, which ultimately lifts public education and makes us a desired community, as we are.
All right. Dr. Brian Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I spoke with Kimberly Rios Gonzalez and her daughter, Alicia, who is now learning from home in East Chattanooga, thanks to HCS EdConnect. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm very pleased to be here.
You live in East Chattanooga. Tell us more about how you heard about HCS EdConnect.
Well, at first I had Comcast. I know $10 don't sound much to anybody, but to us it was a whole lot. So it just kept getting behind. And then all of a sudden the school called and was like, do you know that we offer internet through EPB for free? And I was like, seriously? They're like, yeah, you can sign up for it. All you have to do is your kid needs to be on free or reduced lunch. I was like, yeah, sure. So EPB finally called me, I think it was like an hour or two later, and told me what day to set it up and when I needed to be able to be here so they can come and hook it up. Well, at first, I was planning on scheduling it for whenever my Comcast internet was cut off, which was the 21st of August. Well, if I'd have done that, my daughter would have missed 3 weeks of school because they cut my internet off on like the 11th. So I was trying to figure out, how am I going to get this set up? So I called EPB back and I was like, look, my internet was just disconnected and I desperately need service. So they was like, well, she said, I'm going to see what I can do. I said, okay. So at first she had it scheduled for the following week on Tuesday. That's what she was planning. But they said, no, we can do even better. We can go ahead and do it today. How about today? And when she told me that, I almost flipped. I was like, really? Y'all can do it that fast? I got off the phone with them at 8:15 in the morning. By 10:15, EPB was already here and hooking up my service.
So tell us more about how your daughter has been learning ever since.
She kind of likes it. She's gotten used to it. I mean, at first she was a little jittery about it because you're at home, and when you're at home, you just want to move around and come out of the bedroom and go here and go there. But she's gotten really used to it. I mean, I'm surprised how fast she caught on to it.
And where is she doing the virtual learning, in her bedroom?
She's doing it in my oldest daughter's old room.
Well, let's hear from her. Alicia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are in the seventh grade at Howard Connect Middle School here in Chattanooga, and you are doing the virtual only learning from Hamilton County Schools connected to your school. What's it been like?
Yeah, it's been hard at first when I first got into it because, you know, I wasn't used to it. Like, I was used to going to school and all that stuff. But now I'm kind of actually used to it. I've been doing it for about a couple of months, and I'm kind of used to it because I get used to things really fast. So, and when I like first get to know it, I'm like, I don't want to do it. But then when I actually get into it, then I'm like, okay, this is pretty easy to do.
How much faster, how much easier has it been for you ever since the day that EPB came by and you got hooked up with HCS EdConnect?
Is really good. It only cut out only one time. That's it. And that was just because of a storm that happened.
What are your favorite subjects?
I like social studies the most because I feel like culture, I love cultures because I love talking about cultures. If I read a book about cultures, I would just tell her all about it all day, every day.
Do you know what you want to do when you get older?
I'm planning on being a cosmetologist. And on the side note, like, if I don't get paid that much for cosmetology, I will want to be a businesswoman.
You've already got a plan.
Yep.
What are you learning right now?
In math, we're learning about integers. And in science, we are learning about chemical reactions. And in social studies, we're learning about African Americans. And in ELA, we're learning about essays.
All right. Alicia, thanks so much. You can put your mom back on.
Okay.
Kimberly?
Yes.
This sounds like it has made such a difference for Alicia and you and the rest of the family.
It has. It's been less stressful.
What would you say to other parents out there who might be listening?
Don't be afraid of your income or who you are or where you grew up. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask. It came out of the least expected way, and God blessed us with it. And I'm very thankful he did, because now we can come home and leave the house without worrying about, oh my God, does she got internet for in the morning, or will she have it still? That's a huge burden, trying to figure out if my daughter's going to be able to be in class like she's supposed to. And the fact that I don't have to worry about it, that takes a whole load of stress off of us.
All right. Kimberly, thank you so much.
You too, sir. And you have a blessed day.
Jessica Holloway is an innovation coach supporting Hamilton County Virtual School.
Jessica, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Tell us more about your work as an innovation coach, helping teachers and students with HCS EdConnect.
So HCS EdConnect really helps teachers maximize the curricular and instructional resources the district has intentionally purchased, both print and digital and online programs that help teachers make sure that they can provide the best instruction, and knowing that students on the other side of that screen have access to the internet so they can take advantage of those resources and instructional opportunities. That makes a world of difference. That student is going to be able to do the same work and have the same experience as the other students because they have access to the internet and can use the online and remote learning materials.
You come in to help everybody out after everybody knows they have that connection to virtual learning.
I work alongside teachers to do the planning. I also connect with families and students and make sure that they understand how to use the program. Can they navigate it? Can they access what they need? And so I really try to make sure both the teaching and the learning part are in place and going well. So that way, both sides of the experience are optimized. And that way, teachers aren't frustrated and students and families aren't frustrated. Having reliable, consistent internet access is crucial to be able to learn, especially for students who are in our virtual school program. That's all day. That's how all day, every day, how they access their education and their learning opportunities. The same thing goes for our HCS at home students. They're reliant on those online programs and having internet access. So especially for students that are in those two programs, having EdConnect and having that access to the internet is crucial to be able to participate in learning.
What are some of the typical questions that you'll get from teachers as you help them?
Either the program specifically on how do I plan this lesson? Which parts should I use that are best going to work in a digital since we're not in the classroom together? So which ones will best engage students in the learning? But then I also get questions about, I'm having technology trouble and it's freezing on this item, or my computer's running slow, or I've run into an error message and can you help me work through it? And so it's kind of both like the content program, but also just every day kind of running technology questions as well.
How much of the questions that you may get from students and their families the same as the ones that you get from the teachers? How are they different?
I'd say they parallel each other a lot. Being able to communicate and work with both sides is really nice, and it does optimize the experience, because very typically, if a student doesn't understand a certain pathway in a program, the teacher probably doesn't know it very well or can't explain it. And so there's just like, it's probably a similar problem. So solving it on one side often solves it on another side. So a lot of times when we're working through or troubleshooting a problem with a teacher, we record it. And then that way, if it's something that our students or our parents run into, we can quickly send them a little video that they can watch that'll help them work through those steps as well.
Each time that you have to do that kind of problem solving, you're getting feedback from whomever you're helping, and you're sharing that feedback with everybody else involved with HCS EdConnect to not only maintain what it does now, but to help improve it, because as we know, this is a long-term effort, long beyond this pandemic.
Yes. Prior to the situation we're in now, internet access, having devices, that was kind of like almost a luxury, kind of expected. Teachers were real unsure. In my previous school, like half our kids had it, half didn't. So it was really wishy-washy on, can I use these other materials and resources that are going to enhance the learning experience, but require internet access. And now that we are being diligent and making sure every student has that, we can use all of those resources. There's no longer like a doubt of like, can I use this? It's like, yes, I can use this. It's also, yes, we don't have to worry about lugging 40 textbooks home that weigh 40 pounds and the little backpacks. And, you know, they can access the same materials online. And I'm not going to say that there's nothing good about workbooks and writing in hand. We still want to do that work, but it also provides another way to access the materials. Let's not solve just a right now problem. Let's solve a ongoing long-term problem is really smart and strategic. Teaching the time of COVID is reshaping education this point moving forward.
All right, Jessica, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Vivian Lozano-Sturkey is with La Paz Chattanooga, one of the community groups now guiding students and families to HCS EdConnect.
Vivian, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us more about the partnership between HCS EdConnect and La Paz Chattanooga and the community that your organization serves.
Since we're a trusted source for information in the Latinx community, we get a lot of phone calls about new things that are happening in the city of Chattanooga. Families hear about new programs. They want to know, you know, what's going on with this program? How do we connect? Is this a legitimate thing? And so our job really is to take those questions and figure out, is this a legitimate source? Is this something that's really happening? And then convey that information to the families. So really, it's about just helping families understand what this program does, how they can connect to it, and just helping them with any questions that they may have.
And that includes helping to navigate the language barrier as they are coming to you and coming to HCS EdConnect with technical questions.
Language access is one of the biggest barriers that the Spanish-speaking community faces here in Chattanooga. And especially during the time when COVID really started and everything was shutting down and everything was via telephone, we always understood it to be a barrier for success and a barrier for access. But it was something that I think other people in the community finally realized was a legitimate barrier for a lot of these families. So yes, language access is a huge barrier that we help families with, that we help them overcome, and we help guide them through these types of programs in order for them to better understand how they work, how they can apply, and how it can benefit them.
This initiative, HCS EdConnect, is designed to help bridge the digital divide. It is doing that in this case, but this is also a broader problem for the community.
Internet access is something that every family needs to have access to. It's not a luxury, right? We treat it as a luxury to be able to have internet in your home and to be able to use it. But during this pandemic, when everything shut down, we realized this is a needed utility for families. This is like having water connected to your home, having electricity. You need to have internet in order for your children to be able to connect to school. And I would say even before this pandemic, it was definitely something that we were seeing with kids that needed to be connected in order to do homework. Everything is moving to an electronic database. Everything is online. And so internet access is definitely one of those things that it's not a luxury item. It shouldn't be available just for those who can afford it, because it is expensive to have this in your home. And so really what this pandemic showed us is that it's definitely something that's absolutely needed. And if you're working from home, how are you going to have access to your kid's school? How are you going to get that education if you can't connect to the internet?
What are some of the things that you've been hearing from families lately partnering with them and HCS EdConnect?
This is such a big project. It's such a big undertaking to just have having to do this, wanting to connect all the families in Hamilton County to internet. And so I think the biggest thing that we've definitely had to convey to families is to kind of have the patience while this gets sorted, because it does take time, right? We're having families call with questions. You know, the schools are doing a great job of talking to parents about this, walking them through them. EPB has a great customer service line that has Spanish speakers that are also talking to families. But at the same time, people still have a lot of questions about how this works and how they can connect to it. So really, it's just talking to parents about the process, how it's going to work, letting them know that it's something that's going to take time, answering any questions that they might have. What parents, I think, have realized is that they are a lot smarter than they give themselves credit for, because they're figuring it out as they go along. Who, before the start of this year, really used Zoom for anything? And now we have parents that know how to use Zoom, are comfortable using Zoom, figured out how to connect their children to their classes, understand how to connect their laptops that they may have received to the internet. And so it's something really great to see, because in a way, these parents are kind of like thrown into this situation. It wasn't something that they were particularly comfortable with, because technology is still one of those things that even for, I always find, for older citizens in our country is a hard thing as well. So we're seeing parents kind of embrace this and just realize that, hey, I can actually do this. It's not as hard as I thought it was. I might need a little bit of guidance. I might have some questions here or there, but it's something that they can do.
And an opportunity perhaps for some of those kids to teach their parents a thing or two.
Definitely. I think that's what we definitely saw, where kids were the ones that were teaching their parents, like, okay, this is what I have to do. This is how we do it. I think it's just a really interesting thing to see.
All right, Vivian, thanks so much.
No, thank you.
Please support WUTC and HCS EdConnect now. Go online at WUTC.org or call 423-425-4756. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. Every Wednesday evening, Barking Legs Theatre hosts a set featuring local musicians on their Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs Facebook page. And every Tuesday afternoon, we share that show with you. This afternoon, from Barking Legs, this is the redoubtable Sean Perkinson playing guitar, with Alan Wyatt playing the saxophone. Thank you.
Clifford Brown called this Sand Dew.
Thank you.
And the crowd goes mild. Yes. Thank you very much. It was good to be back here in the theater to do this with you guys. So I think what we do next is let's do in a sentimental mood.
Thank you.
It's beginning to get colder, and I'm thinking about I wasn't ready for summer to be over. And it's a contrafact. It's a big $20 word to a tune called Summertime. Contrafact is a new melody to an old chord progression or an older song. And so, and he called this 4-on-6. So this is Wes Montgomery's 4-on-6. Thank you.
Guitarist Sean Perkinson and saxophonist Alan Wyatt from the Wednesday Jazz at Barking Legs Facebook page. The shows, replete with video, are free on their Facebook page, starting at 8 o'clock every Wednesday evening. This week's show will feature the stellar bassist David Schwab with guitarist Stephen Powers, a virtual performance from Barking Legs Wednesday evening, starting at 8. On listener-supported public radio, this is Scenic Roots.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.